from friends to inspirational truths. A time for exploring truths from God's timeless book. My name is Todd Price. I believe that song and the message for today will be a blessing to each of you. So with that in mind, it is my privilege to introduce to you the founder of Inspirational Truths, my father, Tom Price.
Well, greetings, friends. My name is Tom Price, and I'm always happy to say it's Inspirational Truth time once again, and I greet you in the blessed name of Christ, my Savior. So glad that you've tuned in. Debbie and I are so happy that you have made a choice to join with us here today so that we can worship the Lord, we can look into His Word, we can sing His praises, and just simply, friend, have a time of sweet, sweet fellowship around His Word. We're glad. We're honored and humbled that you made a choice to tune in and, well, share with us today. We're excited about the program. I'm excited about the message. Always am. Always am, friend. Debbie's excited about the song that the Lord has given her to do, and well, we just look for a good time in the Lord. Well, listen, we'll get right into it. I've opened my Bible to the book of Acts. The book of Acts, chapter 14, and I'm going to read just a couple of verses, maybe even just one verse out of that, and I'll share the message with you that the Lord has stirred my heart with today, and I hope that you are blessed thereby. And I hope God is glorified more than anything. Deb's got a song, the title of it is Flowers Along the Way. And it kind of goes along, without a doubt, with this message the Lord has laid on my heart. She's going to talk about some things that, well, God has given to us that, well, points us to Him and witnesses about Him in many ways. So you enjoy. Deb's going to do the song again. The title of it is Flowers That Bloom. And when she's done with that, I'll be back for the message. Hey, I love you. I appreciate you. Ask you to pray for me, would you?
With the eyes of faith, I saw a blind man who now can see. And with the eyes of faith, a crippled man rises. I saw him.
you like that. Boy, I did. I'll tell you what, listen, God's got a lot of witnesses, does He not? God has pointed us to many things in this life, friend, about the reality of Him, eternity, salvation of Jesus Christ, His Son. Hey, that's what this message is all about. Before I even read the text, I'm going to share with you my text passage. I'm going to give you the text for this message. I'm going to talk to you today for just a little while about this thought. God's always had a witness. I like that. God has always had a witness, friend. Always from the beginning, and He still does today. He still does today. He wants people to know Him. The Word of God, listen, friend, isn't a closed book. There was a time that God told Daniel, look, you close this thing up, and now it's open. I mean, we've got the revelation, the unveiling. Oh, listen, friend, God wants to be known today. The question is, do you? In the book of Acts chapter 14, I'm going to pick it up at verse 15, and I'll explain what this is in just a minute, what the situation is for this man by the name of Paul. Listen to what it says. And saying, sirs, now he and this man by the name of Barnabas, alright? And saying, sirs, why do you these things? We are also men of like passion with you. And preaching to you that you should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein. Who in time past suffered or allowed nations to walk in their own vain, their ways or in their vanities. Nevertheless, now watch this. Nevertheless, he left not himself without a witness, in that he did good, gave us rain from heaven, fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and with gladness. I want to look at that phrase right there in verse 17, where Paul said that nevertheless, he, meaning God, left not himself without a witness. I'm going to talk to you, as I said already, God's always had a witness. Now when we pick this passage of Scripture up here, we find Paul and Barnabas at a place called Lystra. And my, strange things happened there that day when Paul was preaching and healed that impotent man right there. All the people down at Lystra thought that he and Barnabas were gods, and they made an effort to do sacrifice to Paul and Barnabas. You know what Paul did? Paul said, "Oh, wait just a minute. Wait just a minute, fellas. I got something to tell you. Why are you doing these things? What in the world's wrong with you? We're not gods. We're not Jupiter. We're not Mercurius. We didn't fall from heaven. Well, we're men just like you are. But let me tell you, somebody who's above me, and thank God. Let me tell you about the one true God. You've got all these vanities. You've got all these things made out of stone and gold and silver and wood and all that stuff. But he said, let me tell you something, friend. There is a witness God has given to you. And that's what I want to talk to you about. Oh, let me tell you, friend, listen. God has always had a witness. There have been times He may have not had, but one it seemed, and we'll see that when we look at Elijah. There was probably a time when He just did have one. And we'll see that in the day of Noah. But oh, when he didn't have a man, when he didn't have someone that lived and breathed, that moved about in a body of flesh, he had the creation that he had spoken into existence. That's exactly what Paul was saying. Paul was saying, listen, God's always had a witness. Sometimes it's been a silent witness, so to speak, that spoke from things like when rain fell from heaven, when we could eat from the bounty of a fruitful season, filling us with food and gladness. Oh, Paul was saying how that it's even the goodness of God that witnesses it and speaks. But here's what I want to do for this message, just for a little while, the good Lord willing. I want to lift up some men. I want to lift up some men that God called, that God chose just at a time, at a specific time, for a very specific reason. All men are just like me and you. They're our heroes of faith. They're listed in the book of Hebrews chapter 11. But can I tell you, sir, ma'am, they were just as much flesh and blood and bone as you and I are. I mean, to tell tell you, friend, listen, they were human with all their fallibilities and whatnot, but God called them and enabled them to be a witness in a dark hour. Can I tell you, sir, ma'am, if you name the name of Jesus, we're called to be a witness, and we need, you know what a witness does? A witness will stand up and speak up. Whoa, that's what we need to do in this hour. To witness means to declare or to attest to facts. It means to affirm to be true, to declare what is true with words. And you and I have been given a great opportunity. Before I started this program today, I was thanking God in prayer. I was praising Him for the platform He has given me in this life to share the gospel with people that I'll never meet on planet Earth. Oh, what a profound thing that is. Now, I've got a simple message. It's about those some profound men and the message that they had and the mission that they were on in very significant times in the days that are gone past. Oh, friend, listen, we'd be wise to listen to them and to try to mock them, not in a negative way, but to do as they did, to stand as they stood, and to be as faithful as they were. Hey, listen, friend, I'll tell you, this world needs a good, clear witness, amen? I mean, the times that we're going to look at, when we look at these men, and I'll not get them all that I've got listed in my list, I'll tell you what, it was a time when a good, clear witness of the things of God from about a yonder's world, about the one true God who is, was, and always shall be. Oh, we need witnesses like that today. Let's look first of all at a man by the name of Noah. You'll find something about him in the book of the beginnings, in the book of Genesis chapter 6, 7, and following. Oh, isn't that amazing? In a day, now listen to me, in a day much like ours, according to what Jesus said, in a day much like ours, when there is very little, if any attention is being given to eternal things. They were buying and selling, planning and building, marrying and giving in marriage, and knew not until Noah entered into the ark. Listen, spiritual ignorance was rampant in that day. I mean to tell you, it was at a high level, unfortunately, in spite of the fact that they had a witness by the name of Noah. They had a man of God who found grace in the eyes of God in a time where God said, now listen, I'm going to send judgment upon mankind. I'm going to send judgment upon the earth. I'm going to wipe them out and start all over. And the Bible said that Noah found grace in the time of the Lord. I mean, it was a day of great apostasy and scholars. More than one scholar that I have read after, theologian, said that it was a time when pornography was running rampant. Does it sound like any day and hour that you and I may be familiar with? Oh, you know what Noah was? Bless God, he was faithful. I believe Peter called him a preacher of righteousness in a day and an hour when a man would scoff him, in a day and hour when a man would negatively mock him and ridicule him. You know what Noah did? He remained faithful. He remained faithful to his call, remained faithful to his commission, remained faithful to his God, and that had chosen him, inspired him, stirred him, and enabled him. Oh, to call a world, bless God, to repentance, to come back to God. Oh, what a time it was. What a task that he had. And you know what Noah was? He was steady. Thank God he was steady in his task. And you know what else he did? He stuck with it. He stayed with it all the way to the end. From the moment God called him, from the moment God inspired him, from the moment God gave him a pattern for the ark, from the moment that God said, all right, Noah, get building, to the very last animal that went into the ark, the very last provision he and his sons and their wives gathered up for all of those animals, to where that God had told him 7 days before the door was shut, come thou and all of thy family into the ark. And they were in there, and God shut the door. Hey, I want you to know, friend, God's always had a witness. And listen, no one else was doing it. No one else was doing it. Thank God. I bless God. God found a Noah. God found a man that was able to give him grace to. Oh, listen. God has always had a witness, even in the dark days of apostasy, even in a time when a little, if anybody, had any kind of concern about eternal things. What about a man by the name of Elijah? Don't you just love Elijah's story? You'll pick him up in the book of 1 Kings chapter 17, and you'll follow him through several chapters after that. The greatest seems to be, in my opinion, chapter 17, 18, and 19. But oh, what a man of God he was. And this Tishbite, that one day seemingly out of nowhere, who had been spending time before God Almighty, no doubt he'd been bending his knees, laying prostrate before God, communing with God, learning about God. Oh, no wonder he had the ability to walk right up to Ahab's palace, knock on his door, and say, "Hey, listen, Ahab, God's going to judge this place. He's going to shut up the heavens. There won't be any rain for a period of 3.5 years. Oh, what an amazing declaration he had. What an amazing witness he was to that wicked king by the name of Ahab, who had an ungodly wife by the name of Jezebel. Isn't that amazing? Now listen, when Elijah came on the scene, when Elijah called this nation, not just a king, not just an individual, but a nation to decide who was the one true God, they were in a mess. Do you hear me? I mean to tell you, this nation is in such a vicarious place spiritually. Listen, I shudder to think of where Israel would have ended up had it not been for this godly man by the name of Elijah. I'm this witness who thought he was all alone. I'm this witness who I was able to stand on Mount Carmel and call a nation back to God. I slay, listen, 850 prophets, only to find himself the next day lying under a juniper tree, wishing that he could die. But oh, aren't you glad today that God has always had a witness, that God has had godly men like Elisha. Thank God that was willing to do ministry in a critical hour, that was willing to stand what seemed to be by himself alone on Mount Carmel, mocking the false prophets of Ahab, mocking the false prophets that he came up against. Aren't you glad for a man that can fall on his knees or lift up his eyes to heaven and pull fire down? Aren't you glad that he's got such a relationship with God and that he's able, hallelujah, listen to prophesy and either shut the heavens up or to see them open? I bless God at the command of Almighty God. God used this man's witness to bring a great revival in America, and would to God today, God would raise up another Elijah, spiritually speaking. Would to God, God would give us that kind of witness that would bring our nation to its knees, face to face with a holy God. Would to God, we have that kind of witness today. What about a Jeremiah? Isn't he an amazing man? I mean to tell you, we know him as the weeping prophet. Oh, what a hard task Jeremiah had when Ezekiel was with the captivity down by the river of Chebar, in that place called Babylon, that that place of the Chaldeans, poor old Jeremiah was tasked with the responsibility of staying in Jerusalem, witnessing to his people, preaching to them, rising up early, proclaiming God's word, crying out to them, crying before God, only to see them stray further and further from God, for them to disobey. Now listen, life wasn't easy for Jeremiah. Those folks in Jerusalem didn't like him. They imprisoned him, put him in the pit. I mean to tell you, even the king cut up some scripture that he had written with a penknife and had the audacity to throw it in the fire, when all that Jeremiah was doing was being obedient to God, was calling his people to walk the old path, that place of peace, that place of prosperity, that place where God would bless him. Oh, thank God for the Jeremiahs who are faithful in their witness. Thank God that he was faithful in his effort to clearly warn God's people. Hey, can I tell you, God has always had a witness. How about a Daniel? My, isn't that amazing? Spent most of his life in captivity. Went to Babylon when he was just a young man. And you know what he did? He stayed faithful. My, for all the rest of his life, across the rising up and the sitting down of many kings, from a man by the name of Belshazzar to a man by the name of Darius. Oh, isn't that amazing? I thank God. Thank God for this man that in chapter 1, I believe verse 8, purposed in himself that he would not defile himself with the king's meat and with the wine that was set on his table. Oh, thank God for a man who had his windows open towards Jerusalem. Thank God for this man who witnessed to the one true God, kingdom after kingdom, king after king. He witness to the one true God, his kingdom that's above all others. Thank God how that God has always had a witness. He had a man by the name of Peter who preached the great message that he preached on Pentecost. And you know what he did? He pointed his finger without fear and apprehension to his very own nation and said, "You have slain the Holy One." You know what he said later in chapter 7? Or at least Stephen did. "You have killed the Prince of Peace." Listen, I know Jesus said, "I lay down my life, no man taketh it from me. I lay it down so I can take it up again. This commandment have I received of the Father, because I always do those things that pleased Him." But listen, friend, that doesn't change the culpability of the nation of Israel. When they sought Jewish help to crucify Jesus, to slay Him, to murder Him, that was in their heart. And by the way, listen, friend, we're as guilty as they were. We that are sinners are manslayers of our Lord and Savior. That's another message for another time. What about a Stephen that I just mentioned? That was the last stand between the eternity, or the judgment, excuse me, that the nation of Israel was headed to. I believe Stephen's message was one last effort by God to get his nation to turn away from their sins, to open their eyes and to see Christ as He was, to see Christ as the only begotten Son of God, to see Christ as the Anointed One of the Yeshua HaMashiach, to see Christ as that promised Deliverer. But it didn't work. They stoned Stephen. Hey, they thought that they had silenced his message. But you know what happened? It hit the heart of a man by the name of Saul. On the way to Damascus, he met that man that Stephen was preaching about, and that Peter was preaching about. He saw the prints of the nails in his hands and in his feet when he straddled that road to Jerusalem that day. And when Saul saw him, he fell to the ground and said, "Lord, Lord, what would you have me to do?" You know what God did? God called him and said, "Paul, I want you to be a witness for me." Hey, can I tell you, sir, ma'am, God's always had his witness. God has always had his men and things unto witness to His almightiness, to witness to His truthfulness, to witness to the reality of Him. And oh, if you're a Christian, if you've been washed in the blood of the Lamb, He's called me and you to be witnesses too. And hey, sir, ma'am, if you don't know Him as your Savior, we're here to declare Him to you as the one true God, as the Savior of all mankind. And He said, listen, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you're lost, call on Him. If you're lost, go to Him. If you're lost, friend, heed His word, hear His witness, and by faith receive Him, and He'll make you a new creature in Christ. Until the next time.
You are my Savior.
Thank you, friend, for listening to Inspirational Truths today. It is our prayer that the message and the song has been a blessing to your soul and has in some way ministered to your heart. We hope that you will make plans to join us every week at this same time. If you have a special request that you would like us to know about, please feel free to write us and we will be sure to pray about your request, whatever it is. If you'd like to contact us, our address is Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. That's Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. Or on the web at TOMANDDEBBIE at inspirationaltruths.com. That's Tom and Debbie at inspirationaltruths.com. Remember, friend, this is a work of faith. We need both your prayers and your listening ears. Now until the next time, it is our prayer that God will richly bless both you and yours.